is in meditation or beings or sort of understand, you know, because it's not as if there are many common potential in the nature. So I don't know, I just feel that maybe it was
See, I haven't got any what's called instructions and teaching specifically catering for that question, because such question hasn't come about. But based on the teachings generally and instruction generally, we would say why the clear light state of mind during the death, even an ordinary person's case, is likened similar to realization of emptiness or state of emptiness realization, is because in the case of ordinary person as well, that is the state of mind where all gross consciousnesses have stopped. So there is no wrapping of the mind with gross consciousnesses. So gross consciousnesses basically mean the gross attachment, hatred, and the 80 categories of concepts as they describe. So it is, but so it's mere. We could, I mean, as I said, I haven't got specific instruction on that, but generally, based on other instruction, we can say, for ordinary people's case, there is just a state of mind of certain purity, free of gross, but there's no capability to use that clarity of mind as, say, time to meditate on emptiness. Whereas in the case of experienced and seasoned practitioner, they would grab that opportunity. So, but it will also seem a bit paradoxical that mind itself is in clear light state, but yet there has to be a subjective mind which does the meditation on that clear light. Yeah. So it does seem that a bit contradictory how that would happen. But we can say that would happen in the case of seasoned practitioner, the mind will have the capability.
From beginningless time, say these people who claim to have sparks of realization, say in their previous life they attained a high level within the preparation state, the path of preparation, which was just this far from actually attaining the path of saint. Wouldn't that imprint be, I mean, possibly be strong enough in that person that sort of give them a boost somewhere? I mean, how would that work? I mean, just in every rebirth, do you start absolutely from scratch?
Until
you attain a direct realization of emptiness?
I think if you had a spark, you might climb to that, if that's the same.
That's true enough, Jim. We're talking about something.
That's right.
We're talking about a sort of like a specific situation.
Definitely, you don't need to start from scratch. Definitely don't have to start from scratch every next rebirth. But we're saying if someone has realized emptiness in previous life, direct realization, then in next life, theoretically saying, that person will have continued state of mind realizing emptiness. Now, there form part of saying it is non-relapsible part, scripturally speaking. Even way before that, the part of preparation, but in there they talk more about not falling to three lower rebirths. But anyway, with sparks, it just will have to be just say people's claim.
So it's possible that people are mistaking acquires a state of mind when they're experiencing a quiet state of mind, they're that experience as a realization.
Possible, yeah, very possible, yeah.
And what you're saying is that the realization of emptiness is beyond merely experiencing a quiet.
Yep, that's right. It can be just momentary. That's
state of mind.
Yep. So it cannot be a momentary as well. It cannot be just happening without any necessary effort towards its actualization or experience. Yes. Yeah, somebody who has or who would have to have, that's right, part of seeing a realization.
I agree with you very much in agreement with your last point about emptiness. Many people have a mistaken idea that emptiness is yet another phenomenon out there to grasp.
Right.
And yet, I've come across in my readings many times a phrase, I don't know what it is in Tibetan, obviously, called the sphere of emptiness.
That's right.
What is that? What is the sphere of emptiness? What is that, just a poetic term? Or
No, it is good. Now, the whole thing about what's called emptiness, it's something we cannot put it aside from the context of karma. That's why I was thinking, people in scientific world, I don't understand at all anything about quantum physics and so forth, although it's a fashionable thing to look into, or books talking about them. According to them, there's a talk of scientists looking for, especially physicists, looking for a unified field where everything emerges from. I was thinking, and similarly, a couple of years ago, not a couple, 4 years ago, there was a lot of talk about chaos theory of chaos. Although they were still not finding any reason which causes that initial butterfly flight. And temporarily they have given a suppositional factor with some term. But anyway, what I was saying is, again, there's a very dramatic concept of looking at a very vague, compared to many in the past, is a very advanced understanding about phenomenal happening. Yet they cannot reconcile because they can't find the bottom line that is responsible for all this. And I think it would be difficult. Because everything happens out of karma, and karma is so complex. Now, the very manifestation of the watch or the book from the sphere of emptiness, or from emptiness itself, is due to karma. Without karma, this manifestation from emptiness would not happen. So in what's called relation with emptiness theory, we have to bring back the karma being the responsible factor. And the word sphere for emptiness, it is correct and is used throughout the classical scriptures language. It's just more or less talking about, we might say, energy field, but without the bad connotation, as if it is solidly there. So some kind of untraceable potentiality, you can say that, yeah. So that's what would be a sphere would be, but still it cannot be a solid thing. We can mention that, and No, I was just thinking about a very interesting point on this point. After all, we have to trace it back down to karma being responsible for that. And it is like unthinkable how things happen, like unimaginable. The point I was thinking was, they do say, like as you heard, because it is emptiness, everything is possible. Now, in there, emptiness can be seen as a potential field from which everything emerges. The very line from Nagarjuna says, in whichever is emptiness feasible, everything is feasible. So, in a way, the point is, if it is emptiness, anything can happen from that. And it's not that difficult to relate. Like many years ago, the capability of the chips, computer chips, can do so many things, and the miniaturization of things, and many other things, or even the cordless or communication, satellite, so forth, unimaginable thing, but they do happen. There's nothing to be amazed. More amazing things can be technologically made in future, because after all, it's the field is emptiness, the source, the very base is emptiness. The very base is emptiness, and it's a beautiful line. I don't think it will ever be proven wrong. We still can leave it open, that Nagarjuna's line. In whichever is emptiness feasible, everything is feasible. That's what he says. Any more questions? I hope it's not random hodgepodge sort of thing.
Perhaps I might ask a question going back to your discussion at the beginning about the Lama being a Buddha and the assuming of sickness. Let's say that Rinpoche had a blood test for a particular illness that he was assuming, and all the biochemical indications were that he had the illness, and the test for the existence of the virus indicated that he had the virus as well related to that illness. What's the sense of assuming? Is it assuming as in making a choice, in inverted commas, to allow this to occur to my physiology, as distinct from the rest of us, where it just happens whether we want it or not? Or is it assuming in the sense of just putting on an act, that the physiology really hasn't been changed? If you get the difference?
It's interesting question, and difficult to differentiate. It can work on both ways. On that point, last Thursday when we talked about that, we were saying in His Holiness the Dalai Lama's second autobiography, Freedom in Exile, in there, under the chapter called Magic and Mystery, he in passing talks about the passing away of his senior tutor. And the anecdote mentioned there was when he was away in Europe somewhere, His senior tutor, Ling Rinpoche, suddenly fell sick in India, but he wasn't unable to go straight or return to India. But eventually, when His Holiness did return to India, Ling Rinpoche was still sick. And finally, he didn't recover from the sickness and he died. Now, that's an anecdote mentioned by His Holiness in his autobiography, and the concluding remark he makes is, he makes this. Firstly, His Holiness says, Ling Rinpoche has been his like a rock solid support, without whom, or from whom he draws all his supports and everything. And life without him would have been unimaginable. So now, when he looks back at the whole incidence of the sickness, he realizes that Ling Rinpoche, his tutor, deliberately prolonged the sickness in order for him to get used to be without Ling Rinpoche. So that's what he mentions in the autobiography. Now, in that we can really infer that His Holiness believed his tutor had the control and choice to even prolong the sickness, which would imply that he also had the choice to actually make it happen. I mean, I don't think it cannot be irreconcilable to say that a lama or enlightened being makes the choice, and physiologically, it all the change also happens. I mean, there can be nothing wrong. I mean, you can say, I mean, the implication is if one assumes, then it may not necessarily physiologically changing place. Yeah, that's acceptable. But we don't know. Like, even in their case, the dead body does show the normal symptom of sickness and so forth. So we might say the whole lot is an assumption, a display in good sense. And then reading that part in the autobiography, it was quite normal. If one assumes His Holiness teacher didn't have the control on sickness and prolonged sickness and wasn't enlightened, then it's quite a sad reading, because the sickness was a shock and was paralyzed for long duration. I mean, it's pretty tragic if it happens to a choiceless ordinary being. So it was would that happen to a lama? Yeah, but the concluding was a good one. Yeah, so His Holiness believed his tutor did deliberately prolong the sickness.
I must remember, of course, also that Shakyamuni Buddha had to go through the
poisoning.
The game of eating the best of not very nice food.
Yeah, the poison. Yeah. Poisoning.
Well, some the poison.
Yeah, it is. Yep, it's supposed to be a poison. So it's same thing. Yeah, it's enlightened being, and similar with Mark Minarepa had a talk like that.